Hi everybody, welcome to this episode of Enlightenment Today. I'm Jason. In this episode, I will speak about the scientific model of mind in the East, which is often referred to as the yogic or Vedic theory of mind, or what I call the Wheel of Samsara framework in my book, Fasting the Mind. This model is basically the psychological system of the East, especially in India, and it is likely the first scientific model of mind. In ancient India, this model was used in Hinduism, Buddhism, and Jainism. It is still the template for the mind in these traditions because it is an advanced model to this day. Thoroughly understanding this model is the key to comprehending the nature of suffering, and as a result, is a surefire way to healing ourselves, and this is why it is connected to the concept of samsara. For those unfamiliar with this term, samsara is a Sanskrit word that represents the wheel of suffering, or more correctly, the wheel of time that makes us suffer through cycles of aimless drifting, wandering, or mundane existence. Samsara is what causes us to suffer day to day, year to year, and according to Indian tradition, life to life. Samsara means then that when we are bound to time, we suffer from its limitations. When we are bound to limitations of time, we cannot perceive reality as it truly is, in the same way that a fish doesn't know anything about the water it dwells in. What is overshadowed by our samsaric perception of reality is nirvana, which is a Sanskrit word meaning extinction, freedom from suffering, and ultimately the unconscious eternal reality that we experience as enlightenment. Enlightenment, suffering, and bondage are all within the mind, and this is precisely why the Eastern psychological model was born. To experience nirvana, we have to understand the Eastern model of mind, or in other words, the framework within the wheel of samsara. This Eastern model of mind is made up of three components that are called samskaras, vasanas, and karma. First of all, we need to understand samskaras. Samskara is a Sanskrit word which means the mental impressions or subliminal psychological imprints that are latent within the subconscious. It is essentially our power base or storehouse. We develop samskaras unknowingly from birth, and they drive our actions, interests, and desires until the day we die. It is also thought in India that strong samskaras pass over from past lives if they haven't been cleansed from our psyche. So what reincarnates is basically all of the samskaras we have not dealt with. Everything we experience in life, no matter whether we believe it is good or bad, are samskaras that we've stored in our subconscious. They remain dormant until activated by external stimuli if we don't learn how to work through them and release them. Samskaras influence our reactions to the world. The bodily sensations we feel that drive our reactions toward fight or flight, craving or aversion, and identifying with and release them. Samskaras influence our reactions to the world. The bodily sensations we feel that drive our reactions toward fight or flight, craving or aversion, and identifying with pleasant or unpleasant circumstances are powered by samskaras. Since they are the driving force behind such bodily reactions as fight or flight, samskaras are very deep within the matrix of our nervous system. Our sensations then are powered by samskaras. The conditioning we have experienced from birth is deep and can be alleviated only if we understand how to extinguish the fire of our samskaras that binds us to the cycle of samsara. William Hart explains in his wonderful book, The Art of Living Vipassana Meditation, how our perception is plagued by the samskara power base of the wheel of samsara. Every samskara unleashes a chain of events that result in a new samskara, which unleashes a fresh chain of events in an endless repetition, a vicious cycle. Every time that we react, we reinforce the mental habit of reaction. Every time that we develop craving or aversion, we strengthen the tendency of the mind to continue generating them. Once the mental pattern is established, we are caught in it. The storehouse of samskaras confuses our perception of the world and oneself. Samskaras usually remain unconscious, and as a result, people incorrectly assume that the manifestation of their blind reactions is part of their character that cannot be changed. Our perception of good and bad is more often than not determined by our accumulated samskaras. This means we judge any new experience according to our samskaras, rather than taking the experience for what it is in that moment. Our reactions in the present moment are essentially based on our past experiences. Many of us react blindly to life from the habits and tendencies that we continually manifest in our experience unconsciously. These habits and tendencies are driven by our samskaras, and they make up the second component of the Wheel of Samsara framework. Vasanas are the habitual ways and latent tendencies that function on the unconscious level of mind. Vasanas are our habitual reactions to the sensations of samskaras within. It doesn't matter whether it is good or bad, a vasana is a habit-forming tendency. Many habits are invariably toxic and linked to unconscious lazy tendencies when we have not begun the process of purging our samskaras. Because our samskaras are geared towards craving and aversion and ultimately are self-interested, our vasanas will reflect their driving force. So many people's vasanas bind them to suffering, as our habits are unhealthy and geared toward responding to stimuli rather than being aware of it. Vasanas keep us locked in the blind repetition where we begin to identify with our habits as who we are. To identify with our habits is absurd because we can change any time, but that is dependent on the self-work we engage in to expel our samskaras. If our vasanas are not revealed and exhausted, then our actions will always be plagued. The actions that are driven by our vasanas make up the third and last component of the Wheel of Samsara framework. In Sanskrit, karma means action. It comes from the Sanskrit root kri, which literally means action. The New Age notion of karma as cause and effect is not correct, but also not entirely false. Karma, in its right definition, consists of our actions and the results of our actions, which means you don't act a certain way to get something in return, but instead, action will always have a result no matter what the intention. The original and authentic understanding of karma in the East is that you just act naturally good without seeking any beneficial reward. There is only action in the present moment, because in reality, that is all there actually is. This natural way of acting truly good doesn't always mean it is always considered moral or ethical, as these are merely external standards of society, culture, and religion. Acting naturally good means you act spontaneously with what is needed in that moment, and every moment is different. What we believe are the effects of our karma are really only experienced in the present moment and not some future destination. The sage's wisdom is to be free from karma, which means we don't stop acting, but instead our actions are the result of having fasted the mind completely. Acting in this manner will begin to heal our samskaras, because we are neither promoting those unconscious tendencies nor are we accumulating more. But in many people's lives, this awareness is not firmly established, and so we continue to act impurely because our actions are driven by our vasanas and powered by our samskaras. Our unconscious karmic actions result from our habits and tendencies, which are driven by our psychological impressions. Karma reinforces our samskaras, and our samskaras in turn fuel our karma. This vicious cycle is addressed by the classical yoga expounded by Patanjali, as Chip Hartranft explains. From Patanjali's perspective, any kind of volitional body-mind movement, whether mental or physical, constitutes a kind of action or karma. Each action or volition leaves an impression, samskara, in the deepest part of memory. there to lie dormant for a time and then spring forth into some new related action. This in turn will create fresh latent impressions in a cycle of latency and activation. This is the vicious cycle of samsara. The actions with which we confront the experience of life become the conditioning we unconsciously project into the world. Understanding this Eastern model of mind gives us the tools for transcending its vicious cycle. To heal our actions, karma, and habits, vasanas, we have to fundamentally change ourselves. We need to eliminate the samskaras that bind us to this cycle. Yet we cannot just inwardly seek to change our samskaras because in many cases they manifest unconsciously through our actions. To fundamentally kill the roots of the samskara tree of suffering, we need to prune the branches back so far that the root system is starved of nourishment and consequently dies. It would be impossible to cut the samskara tree from the base and think that it will die that way because the roots will remain, which means the samskaras will continue to function on the unconscious level. These roots are tenacious because they are deep subconscious impressions within our nervous system. So we need to prune the branches, beginning with karma and vasanas. We have to begin on the outer layer to change the inner layer. We have to reverse the cycle from karma to samskaras in order to jump off the wheel of samsara. To dig into our samskaras, we need to work backward, beginning with karma. When we realize the dilemma we are all in, we must examine our actions while questioning our habits and tendencies. This process is achieved through the science of mind fasting. We need to start taking away the familiar distractions that alert us to act, which occurs when we explore our karmic actions. We need to refrain from acting toward the world altogether for a certain amount of time. This is a core method for fasting the mind, which leads to true healing. Developing a use for the scientific tools of fasting the mind is essential. The first tool we apply to our life is viveka, which is a Sanskrit word referring to the discrimination between the real and unreal in our mind. To develop the ability of viveka, we need to be able to reside in the non-subjective witnessing state of pure awareness, purusha in Sanskrit, and be able to perceive the constant stream of mental movement and contents in your consciousness, prakriti in Sanskrit, without identifying with it or reacting to it. In training to reside in pure awareness, the use of viveka is like riding a bike because it is a vehicle we use to find our natural balance. When we apply viveka to fundamentally change our actions, it is coupled by another scientific tool of mind fasting called vairagya in Sanskrit, which means non-reaction. This means that we do not react to whatever we experience in the external world and within ourselves without first taking time to assimilate it. Only then can we choose if action is required. This ability of non-reaction is helped by developing viveka because we can become aware that our actions are driven by emotions, which in many cases cause us to act more like animals than humans. When we look at the world and all the dramas that go on daily, much of it is caused by emotional people who react far too quickly to circumstances, and then as a result, they regret their actions over time. Vairagya fundamentally changes our unconscious reaction and begins to dig deep into our habit patterns. Applying vairagya to your life is a positive affirmation of trust that develops within the depths of your psyche. We begin to let life be as it will without our own personal agenda interfering with it. When we develop viveka and employ vairagya, we reveal our habitual actions that are normally unconscious and emotionally fueled. As a result, we uncover our vasanas. Vairagya begins to change our vasanas because our actions are no longer driven by our habits and accustomed tendencies. In pruning our karmic actions, we use viveka and vairagya to starve our vasanas of life. The more we can differentiate our habits from pure awareness, the less we react to them and make them manifest. Our vasanas are so deeply entrenched that most of us do not know we have these habitual patterns, and our reactions to the world can become predictable if they are analyzed for long enough. Functioning on the vasana level causes us to suffer if we don't apply vairagya and viveka to them. But if we do apply vairagya and viveka to them, they will begin to infiltrate the samskara matrix that has developed on the unconscious level. You need to burn out your samskaras if you want to know the nature of your true self. Burning these vasanas out is done by fasting the mind with the scientific tools of viveka and vairagya. This process cuts off the juice that fuels our karma and vasanas so that we can end their cyclical existence. As a result, we come down to the samskara level. Our samskaras begin to be fundamentally transformed when we have gone through the process of working through our karma and vasanas, because these are the two limbs of samskaras. Having stopped our usual unconscious movement of actions and habits, we arrive at the subtle sensory level, the root level of the samskaras. When we apply viveka and vairagya at this level, we begin to observe the pure vibratory flux of sensations known in Pali as vedana. In the ancient science of mind fasting, we just observe these sensations objectively through viveka and vairagya. This is enhanced by the practice of anapanasati, which is Pali for awareness of respiration. Applying all three of these mind fasting tools, we learn to observe vedana objectively for sustained periods. This objectivity of vedana has a profound effect on our samskaras. When we fast the mind down to the sensory level, we can avoid any new samskara reaction of craving or aversion, and thus we can begin to experience the ultimate reality within the unconscious. Once the samskaras have been cleaned out, then the wisdom aspect within the unconscious begins to be felt and lived as the presence of Brahman or Tao in your consciousness. This experience of the ultimate reality dwelling deep within the unconscious is what leads to the complete liberation of mind, leading to a mind free from the development of attachment and from acquiring any new conditioning. This is the mind that has transcended the wheel of samsara and its components. This is the liberated mind of the great sages and mystics of antiquity. But it is not something that is isolated to a few great individuals who have come before us, because it is available to any of us if we choose to fast the mind.